Chapter 28, Visitors from New York. Because of their mutual history with the Santa Rita No. 1, Frank Pickrell and Pearl had become great friends and had developed a trusting relationship. He made it a point to visit Miss Pearl's parlor every time he came to San Angelo. Because Frank reminded her so much of her father, Pearl considered him family, in an Irish kind of way. She shared stories about her parents and told him how the Irish Catholics were looked down upon in Chicago. He, in turn, told her of his life in Ireland before he had come to the United States. Their stories created a strong bond between them. Pearl's parlor was becoming a popular meeting place for the oil industry in San Angelo. The success of the Santa Rita had been impressive, and Group No. 1 was no longer considered an amateur oil company. Some of the same bankers, businessmen, and lawyers who before had made fun of the drilling efforts in Big Lake were now treating Frank Pickrell as if he were a longtime friend. Of course, Frank saw through their chicanery, but it amused Pearl to listen to some of their conversations. Funny how the same people who once had been naysayers thought they were successful in convincing Frank they had always been in his corner. When this duplicity occurred, the two friends exchanged looks of understanding, both with enough good business sense to know that silence was more advantageous. Ever since the Santa Rita had come in, it was obvious that San Angelo was next in line to become a Texas oil boom town. Pearl received a telegram from New York on the afternoon of June 25th during one of Frank Pickrell's visits. "We'll arrive in San Angelo July 7th, bringing my sister and cousin. Stop. It is time to celebrate. Madeline."
"Mosella, look! Maddie is coming." "Frank, Maddie is coming with some of the ladies who invested in the Santa Rita."
"Well, we will just have to show them a West Texas good time. You better reserve some rooms for them today. It's getting harder and harder by the week to find an available room in San Angelo."
When Pearl picked Madeline up from the train station, the two women hugged and jumped up and down like a couple of schoolgirls. "Oh, Maddie, it is so good to see you. So good, especially now." Maddie was happy to see her friend.
"Victoria, you are just as lovely as ever. This is my sister Elizabeth and our cousin Rosie."
Elizabeth gave Pearl a warm hug.
"Finally."
An animated woman in a rose-colored dress, a gaudy hat, and a big smile reached out to pump Pearl's hand up and down.
"My pleasure, I'm sure. I'm Rosie from Jersey."
"How do you do?"
"I put up some of the money for the Santa Rita when my husband died and left me a small fortune. Can't say he came by it honest, but that was my Joey. Anyways, I sure am happy to finally make your acquaintance."
Pearl and Ginger took the ladies to the Angeles Hotel. After the ladies had checked in, they decided to have a quick bite and retire early. "Frank has arranged for us to go to the Santa Rita well site tomorrow so you can see where they hit the big lime sand." When Pearl arrived home from the train station, Emma Grace was waiting for her on the front porch.
"Tommy Lee's mother has arranged a simple wedding at the ranch, Miss Pearl. We decided to get married on Sunday, the 23rd of September. Tommy Lee is fixing up a small house for us to live in. His mother said we can live in their house, but Tommy Lee insists we have a place of our own."
Pearl gave Emma Grace a big squeeze. "That is wonderful."
"It's the absolute bee's knees. I'm so happy, Miss Pearl. I've never been happy like this in my entire life. Tommy Lee says we're going to Galveston for our honeymoon. Redbird says it's really nice there."
"She should know. After all, she did grow up in Houston." "My dear Emma Grace, I truly am so happy for you and Tommy Lee. He is a fine young man."
Mother Pearl, you will be at my wedding, won't you? You and the girls are all the family I have.
Of course I will be there. We will all be there.
I have asked Sarah to be my maid of honor. Harmony says she will bring her guitar and sing.
Sounds perfect.
Yes, ma'am. We are inviting just family and a few close friends. All the family I know is at Miss Pearl's. Tommy Lee's mother really is a kind woman, and the cowboys have promised they'll behave.
The next morning, Frank showed up in his new Packard to drive the New York ladies to the well site. Ginger drove a second car, and like always, Mosella packed them a lunch. The scenery was much different from what the women were used to.
This really is the wide open spaces. Are there any real cowboys around here? How about wild Indians?
As a matter of fact, there was a woman who lived in this area known as the Rose of Dove Creek. Her father was a train robber, and when she was 15, she hooked up with a man named Will Carver, who also robbed trains with Black Jack Ketchum, Butch Cassidy, and the Sundance Kid. They were known as the Hole in the Wall Gang. Her real name was Laura, but they called her Della Rose. She ended up spending 5 years in a Missouri prison for robbing a train.
Holy camoly! The Hole in the Wall Gang had a hideout here?
Yes, ma'am. You were asking about Indians? Not too far from here was the massacre at Dove Creek. Quite a sad story. Some soldiers from Fort Concho found a group of Kickapoo Indians and thought they were hostile like the Comanche. The Kickapoo sent an Indian princess as a symbol of peace. And when they did, one of the soldiers shot her. The Indians attacked and virtually wiped out the entire platoon. It was horrible. Afterwards, the Kickapoo headed south to Mexico and escaped. Elizabeth seemed especially appalled.
Oh my, that is dreadful.
West Texas is rich in history, ladies. A man we call Tex, a regular at the parlor, always has a story to tell when he comes to visit. Tex has been around a long time, and he knows about this area. He is very interesting, and the girls just love him. He has a thing for Maggie. He says he loves her spirit.
This is all so fascinating. Much different from Chicago and New York.
When the cars finally reached the site of the Santa Rita, the ladies were surprised.
After all these months, I guess I was expecting... Well, I'm not quite sure what I was expecting.
You should have been here before they set pipe. The Santa Rita rumbled like an earthquake, hissed like a snake, roared like a lion, and then exploded like a fountain of black tea against the bright blue West Texas sky. I'll never forget it as long as I live.
Now what makes her spectacular is beneath the ground.
Remember, dear sister, we soon will be getting checks in the mail.
That night, when the small caravan returned to Pearl's parlor, the Santa Rita celebration officially began.
I can see that working at the Everlay Club served you well, Victoria. You have decorated your parlor with elegant and exquisite taste, my dear.
Pearl nodded with acknowledgement. Thank you, Madeline. I do appreciate your saying so. How about I get a chilled bottle of champagne and we go outside to sit in the gazebo by the river?
Sounds like an excellent idea.
Arm in arm, the ladies walked outside like a couple of old army buddies. When Victoria popped the bottle, both women laughed like they had in the old times.
Remember when that man from Prussia drank champagne from Gloria's shoe?
My goodness, yes, that man with the King of Prussia. It became a tradition at the Everlay Club.
Yes, it did. Actually, we do the same thing here. Carry on the tradition, I mean. Many a man has enjoyed drinking champagne from a shoe in our parlor. It is Redbird's favorite ceremony, especially for birthdays or any celebration for that matter. It was late afternoon. Nature had settled into a peaceful state. The land glowed with a golden light, and the only sound was the song of a nearby dove. The ladies sat quietly by the river, watching the West Texas sky paint a colorful portrait that changed minute by minute as the sun bid farewell to an extra special day. Madeline finally broke the silence.
How are you doing, Victoria? How are you really doing?
Oh, Maddie, I miss him so much. It is getting better with time, but once in a while, the thought of Robert overtakes me. I might have gone mad if I had stayed at the ranch. When I am there, everywhere I look, I see Robert. The way he would smile and wave at me as he came in from the pasture. The sound of his laughter echoes like a faint whisper in my mind. His smell, his warmth, his love. I miss him so much. It pains me, so I try to avoid thinking about him. There are times that all I want to do is think about him in our times together. Those are the times I read my journals, like I did in Chicago when I was missing him.
I remember that. What about the boys?
I am so proud of them. It is funny how even though they are twins, they are so different. Both of them are attending the university in Austin. David is more like his father and will probably end up running the ranch. Michael is the creative one and is studying architecture. They know I have a business in San Angelo, but I guess you can say I have protected them from the truth. They are both very independent and strong-willed.
Like their mother?
Perhaps. How do you like my girls?
Again, I have to say you learned well from the Everlay sisters. I am impressed with your whole operation here.
I love these girls, Maddie. Sometimes they call me mother, and rightly so. It makes me appreciate Ada and especially Minna even more. I will never forget Minna coming to talk to me after that first time Robert left. I have talks like that with my girls now, like poor little Betsy, who would love nothing more than for someone to ride her away to happily ever after on a snow-white steed, or sweet little Sarah, who has been through hell and back. Harmony and Annabel both lost their men in the war. Annabel is supporting her mother and her sweet little daughter, Julie Marie. They live in a small house in Cristoval. She rides the stagecoach down there several times a month to spend time with them.
I love Ginger's spirit. What's her story?
Ginger's mother sold her to a madam in Storyville down in New Orleans, something the Everlay sisters would never allow. Wait until you hear her sing and hear Harmony play the piano. Maggie and Lucy are a pure delight, and Katie, our little sharpshooter, makes us all feel safe and secure. Redbird has a good business sense and will be ready soon to come into her inheritance when she is 21. She loves to make money, like I do, and she is good at it. She has learned well from the businessmen who frequent the parlor. How about you, Maddie? What do you do all day in New York City?
Actually, I'm glad you asked. I have a surprise for you from Ada and Minna.
What? Madeline handed her a small red velvet bag. Pearl opened it to find a simple pearl brooch shaped like a butterfly. I remember this. Minna was wearing it the day I left the Everlay Club. There's a card. Pearls for our Pearl. Love, Ada and Minna Everlay. What a nice surprise. It is beautiful. How are they doing?
They are well. I try to see them every other month or so. They have worked their way into the realms of high society and have started a poetry circle in New York. Of course, being actresses themselves, they love the theatre. Minna and Ada left Chicago with millions and go by their surname, Lester, these days. They have successfully kept their dealings in Chicago a secret, although there are some men in their sphere of influence who are former visitors to the Everleigh Club. It stands as a mutual agreement that what happened in Chicago stays in Chicago.
The sisters were always adorned with diamonds and pearls. Minna especially loved wearing those diamond butterfly pins. They must be worth a fortune. Does she still wear them?
Most definitely. Remember that time Minna was robbed at gunpoint?
Yes, right after we opened. It must have been such an awful fright for Miss Minna. The way he pulled her into that small alcove, shut the door, and then stuck the revolver against her ribs. Remember, he was a drug addict. They usually shoot before they think. Oh, off with the junk, he told her. I believe Ada saved her life by coming into the room when she did. She must have had a premonition. It wouldn't surprise me. The sisters were so close. Can you imagine? She opens the door and sees her sister giving some horrible man her diamonds, and then in the sweetest voice says, "I thought you sent for me." If she had screamed, the man would have probably shot both of them. It was so clever. He actually thought it was a trick and left with nothing.
Brilliant! Both women so wise in understanding men and how they think. Ada and Minna's loyalty to each other is commendable. In New York, they have managed to hide their past. They always were superb actresses. Very clever, those two. The sisters made millions of dollars simply by understanding human nature. Absolutely brilliant.
America can be the land of opportunity if you are clever, Maddie. I was a rich woman when I married Robert, and I still have all of it. It is unfortunate that our business is the only way a woman of simple means can become wealthy. Unless, of course, you marry someone with money. It is rare to see a woman marry someone below or above her station. Of course, there always was the exception. But I really do not think I would ever go as far as to tattoo a rose and offer a magnifying glass to make that happen.
Susie Poontang, I forgot about her.
How could you forget about Susie Poontang, Maddie? I just told the girls her story a few weeks ago. In fact, it was the day we heard about the Santa Rita coming in.
You're right, Victoria. I never will forget Susie Poontang. I remember how happy we all were when she only lasted one night. Then there was the man who liked to throw gold coins and let us keep the ones that hit the target. Sometimes he aimed for my belly button. Other times, well, you know, I became very good at it. I really do love men. They can be so creative and even sweet.
How about the banker who liked to watch us climb up a ladder? Never quite figured that one out. I did like him. I suppose it was because it was so easy to make him happy. By now, both women were laughing hysterically, tears in their eyes. The two friends finished the last of the champagne, still talking about old times. Finally, Pearl announced that she was hungry. And Maddie agreed. From the house, they heard music blasting. Sure enough, there in the great room, everyone, including Mozella, was doing the Charleston to a record that Rosie had brought from New York. Pearl decided to make it a ladies' night and closed her other services for the evening. tomorrow would be the official Santa Rita party when they were expecting businessmen from all over the world. But tonight, Frank Pickrell was the only man allowed in Pearl's parlor. As far as Pearl was concerned, he certainly deserved it. It was a night for celebration. All those challenges and long months of tenacity had come to this moment. Pearl, Frank, Mosella, and the ladies from New York had been bonded by the success of the Santa Rita No. 1. They drank, sang Irish limericks, and danced all night long. When Frank left the parlor around midnight, the party turned into a girl talk session with Rosie taking the lead. She had had plenty to drink and wanted to share.
I loved my Joey Goyles. Believe me, I did. I just didn't understand why he did what he did. My goodness. Both of us grew up in the coal mines and married when we were young. We moved to the city, and both of us started working in a bar. Joey was Italian and could hustle like nobody's business. In fact, he ended up owning the bar, and pretty soon we were doing okay. He moved us to an apartment in Jersey. One day, I sees the lady next door hanging up her laundry. All of a sudden, she's hanging up green striped underwear that looks just like my Joey's. And then, I remember, she don't have a husband. And the underwear she is hanging up with the clothespins in her teeth are my Joey's. That night, I ask him if the green striped underwear at the neighbor lady's house is his underwear. He denies it, which I kind of expected. Joey always was a crappy liar. Anyway, thank you so much, Sarah. So I decides to keep my cool, if you know what I mean. Every night when he comes home drunk, which was about 7 nights a week, I start cleaning out his pockets. He never said nothing. I guess it was on account that he thought he might have given his money to the cheap dame next door. I seen him looking for it, and then I just played dumb. After a couple of weeks, I saved up a pretty good stash, so I opened up a savings account. Did I tell you my Joey was a pool shark and had a poker room in the back of the bar? Well, sometimes Joey would come home with great big wads of money on account he used to run the numbers to. Those nights, I wouldn't take all of the money, but I got my fair share. The way I saw it, whatever I didn't get, he'd spend on her. Joey was a sorry, no-good, womanizing, cheating scumbag from the deepest swamps in Jersey, and I loved him so much. I loved my Joey. I loved my Joey. My golden moment was at his funeral. Oh, she came all right. With her false eyelashes, shiny platinum hair, skin-tight dress with her boobies popping out, a fur Joey probably gave her, red lipstick, and a stick of gum she popped like a percolator making morning coffee. Cheap with no class, if you know what I mean. She sat in the back of the church and cried. Can you believe the knife? She even waved at me like she does every time I'd see her hanging out a dirty laundry. How do you think it made me feel seeing her hang out her bed sheets and my husband's green striped underwear? I just smiled and waved back. It was better if they thought I didn't know. Then I'd go inside and stick pins in a Cupid doll that kind of looks like her that I got down on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. I guess they both thought I was too dumb to know what was going on.
How did he die, if I may ask?
I guess he made the wrong guy mad. Someone shot him in the alley behind the bar. I got the bar, the fancy car, the bank account, plus the stash I had been putting away. I even found a suitcase with $50,000 hidden in the closet behind a loose board when I was cleaning out his stuff. I deserved it. I went through hell those nights, knowing he was right next door at her apartment doing whatever. Can you imagine a man who would put his girlfriend in the house right next door?
Everyone in the room shook their heads no.
Oh, yeah. I got the apartment house, too. Joey won it in a poker game. Joey! I guess because I got all the money, I got the last laugh after all. But I ain't laughing now. God, I miss the big glutes. Joey, if you can hear me, I forgive you. You and your green striped underwear and that crazy dame with the clothespins in her teeth. Damn it, Joey. Just damn it. I sure hope you ain't in hell. But you probably are.
Aw, that's too bad. Whatever happened to the girlfriend?
I don't know, and I don't care. I had her evicted the day after the funeral. She can keep them old green striped underwear. That's all she gets.
There are good men who you can count on, and then there are the ones we love that only show up when they need you. I've got one who comes by when he's in town. Good-looking, sweet-talking, hot-loving Sam. Only man I've ever known who can make me feel like I might even have a heart. I know because it jumps when I see him, and it aches when we say goodbye. We've got something special that I can't really explain. I know it's the same for him as well, although he'd never admit it.
Although she never talked about it, all the girls knew how Ginger felt about Sam. Redbird took Ginger's arm.
You know, honey, ladies love outlaws.
Yeah, like little children love stray dogs.
Emma Grace had been fascinated with the conversation.
How do you know if you have a good man?
Don't worry, honey. You did all right. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. You ladies ready to go back to your hotel?
Everyone agreed it was time to end a wonderful day. That night, Emma Grace dreamed about her cowboy, and Victoria Pearl dreamed about Robert as well. The next morning, all of the girls slept until noon.